couple weeks ago, we were at the game with our five-year-old. It was just a special night. Me and Chelsea took the five-year-old, and so just some time with him alone. And on the way home, I pulled out my phone, and I typed in our address to get us home. I knew how to get home. I've been there, done that many times. But I hit go anyway to just sort of, you know, road closures, traffic, that kind of stuff, to make sure I went the best way home. If you've ever used that on your phone and you hit go, think about what it does real quick. Just sort of get that mental image. A blue line forms, right? You hit go and it says, here we go. And it makes this blue line on your phone. And so for me to get home that night, what did I have to do? Stay on the line. Very simple. I had to stay on the line to get where I wanted to go. On the drive home, I looked at the line and I thought that I knew better than the line. And so I got off the line on the way home against the advice of my wife. But I got off the line because I thought that I had a better way. And do you think I did? Thanks for the faith in me. No, I didn't have a better way, right? Not a couple minutes later, we're stuck in traffic, right? Big wreck up in front of us. My wife sort of biting her lip, trying not to say, I told you so, keeping our kiddo out even later on a school night. But anyway, I got off the path that was laid out before me, and I got in trouble. And I think that can happen in our lives too. When we take a detour from the road that God's paved for us, when we step away from the instructions that God has given us, you and I can find ourselves in trouble as well. Listen, God has a plan. God has a route that's laid out for us. And when we do what God's called us to do, we get where God wants us to be, right? We end up in the right place. We're going to see that in Joshua. If you've got your Bible, open up again to Joshua chapter 1. We saw that last week. We're going to see that same pattern again this week. And if you'll remember, Joshua and the people of Israel are not in the promised land yet. They're out of Egypt. God has delivered them from slavery. They've walked through the wilderness, and now they're camping on the edge of the promised land. They know that that's where God wants them to go. They know that God has told them to be there. God's told them to be strong. He's told them to be courageous. He's promised them the land. He's promised his word. He's promised his presence. All of these things. Now, for them, it's time for them to go. God's giving them the land. It's time for them to go in. Well, there's an obstacle for them, right? How are they going to do that with a huge river right in front of them? It's literally impossible for them to make their way in. But we're going to see in God's word today is that God has a way. We're going to see that God worked in a way to move them from where they were to where God wanted them to be. And I want you to get in your mind that image, that thought of movement, right? God is moving them from one spot to another. God's moving them from where they are to where God wants them to be. And he does the same thing for us too. And what you're thinking is this, that none of us are going to go out this week and none of us are going to be faced with the Jordan River and have to find this miraculous way across. But I know, I'm sure of this, God wants to move each and every one of us today. God wants to move each and every one of us this week over the course of our lives. There's movement that happens in our life. Romans 8:29 says this, that God predestined us, God called us to be conformed into the image of his son, who is Jesus. Right? God wants to move us, mold us, and shape us to be more like Christ, to be Christ-like in our life. So for us, as we walk with God, if we are children of God, if we're believers, if we're disciples of Jesus Christ, there should be movement in our life where daily we are growing closer in our love relationship with him. We're drawing closer to him. Of course, along the way, we're going to have to make life decisions. We're going to have to make choices. All of those should be influenced and shaped and molded, driven by the way that God is drawing us closer to him. And we're going to see that in God's word this morning in Joshua, and hopefully we'll see how that applies in our lives as well. I want to invite you to do something. In your worship folder, there's a listening guide that's blank. Let me give you a few things to fill it out so hopefully mentally you can be thinking about where God has us and where we're going. On mine, I just put a little star at the top, sort of the you are here thing, you know, that's on a map, circled it. And at the bottom, I put where we're going, right? God's plan, Christ's likeness, whatever you want to put, but just this concept that God is moving me from here to here. And in God's word, we're going to see just four clear steps where God takes us, if we'll be obedient to him, and moves us and draws us closer in relationship with him. And it's the same steps that God used in Joshua's life and in the people of Israel to bring them into the promised land. Just be thinking this: God doesn't want me to stay here, right? God wants to move me to draw me closer to him. And we see that in his word. If you've got your Bible, open to Joshua chapter 1, look down at verse 10. and we're going to get going. And just let me, we're going to be in Joshua 1, Joshua 3, and Joshua 4 this morning, so we're going to cover a lot of ground as we get God's people into the promised land. Joshua 1:10 says this, "So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready," like make some plans, get the stuff together. "3 days from now, you'll cross the Jordan to go in and take possession of the land your God is going to give you." So, right, they're supposed to begin preparing for where God wants them to go. Look over in chapter 3 now and down at verse 5. They're still not in the promised land. They're still on the outside of it, and there's more preparation that God calls them to. Verse 3, 5 says this, "Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." So there's more prep work that God calls them to do. And it's important to notice here, the preparation is about their hearts, right? The preparation is about what's going on inside. They're about to have to find a way to cross this river, right? A miraculous thing. They're about to have to drive people out of the land that God's promised them. He didn't say find boats. He didn't say build rafts. He didn't say get a lifeboat. He didn't say sharpen your sword or get your shields together. None of that stuff. And it all would have made sense if God told them to, but what God wanted them to do was to prepare their hearts. There's spiritual preparation going on here. So as we look at how God moved them and how God wants to move us, we've got to keep first things first. That first step for us on our journey from here to here is we've got to prepare our hearts. Right? We have to prepare our hearts. Look back at verse 5. It says, "Consecrate yourselves." This is not a new command from God to the people of God. God told his people back in Exodus chapter 19, when they were in the wilderness, they were at Sinai, and the people were about to meet with God. They were told to consecrate themselves. And what that means is, if you translate it literally, it means to set yourself apart as holy, right? Do some work in your heart. It changed their daily routine. It changed their daily patterns. It affected their daily life if they went through this process to consecrate themselves. It was spiritual preparation from them. We see it in the New Testament as well, but before Jesus stepped into these intense seasons of ministry, and he got before the Father in prayer and allowed God to do some stuff in his heart, right? He goes out into the wilderness and he fasts and he prays. There's this pattern of his ministry where he breaks away from the crowds, where he wakes up early in the morning and separates himself to go before the Father in prayer. In Joshua 1, and 3, we see here that Joshua and the people of Israel had to set aside this time to prepare their hearts in order to go where God wanted them to go. Prepared them to meet with him. I'm sure it grew their sensitivity, right? As they're thinking, as they're preparing their hearts, it's growing their sensitivity to be willing to do, maybe to pay attention to do what God's called them to do. And it's the same for us. If you and I are going to move spiritually, if we're going to go where God is leading us, there needs to be this daily sense of preparation in our hearts to set ourselves apart for the work of God. We've got to be open for God to move. And listen, I mean, that's my hope, that's my prayer for my life, for my family, that we would not stay here, right? That we would grow, that we would draw closer to the Lord in every season of our lives. And so a very practical thing all of us can do as we seek to prepare our hearts daily is this. We can set aside intentional time in our lives to pray every day. We can set aside time to connect with the Father through prayer. So write that down. Make that note. Think about what that means for you. Pray with your family. Pray with your kids. Pray with your spouse. Make it intentional to where you can go before the Lord and ask him to do some stuff, to stir up your heart so that you're sensitive and willing and able to follow him as he speaks to you. Think about what that could, or maybe what that should, look like in all of our lives. And I'll promise you this, there is no better investment of your time, right, than time and prayer. It is more important, it is more life-giving, it is of more eternal value than whatever new show you're watching on Netflix is. It is of more eternal value than whatever social media thing you're messing around with at night. It is more eternal value of watching the Astros game every night, right? It is of more eternal value than anything. We've got to set aside that time to go before the Father in prayer to prepare our hearts. And I know you've heard that before, right? It's not new, right? It's Old Testament to New Testament. We see it all throughout God's word. But if we're going to move from where we're at to where God's called us to be, we've got to spend time with the Lord in prayer. So they prepared their hearts to move. And then God asked them to do something else. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. We're going to read the first couple of verses. It says this: early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing the river. And after 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp giving orders to the people. This is critical here. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, that's God's presence among his people, and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move. When you see it going, you are to move out from your positions, and you're supposed to follow it. Then you will know which way to go, because you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits, a half a mile or so is what that would be, between you and the ark, and do not go near it. Listen, Joshua and his men instructed the people to follow God. If they're going to make it across the Jordan, if they're going to make it into the promised land, it's not going to be on their own. It's going to be because they're following God. Same for me and you. If we're going to move to where God's calling us, if we're going to grow in our relationship with him, if we're going to draw closer to him, we've got to follow God, right? That's number two in our journey. We've got to follow God. Look back in your Bible in those first couple of verses there and just sort of pay attention. Let this roll around in your head a little bit about what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to keep their eyes on God. When God moves, they're supposed to move. Where God goes, they're supposed to go. He's the one that is setting the pace for them, and they've got to follow after him. Remember, look at verse 4. It says that they've never been where they're going. They don't have the blue line that we have on our phones. The only way they can get where they know they need to go is to follow after God. And here's a really cool thing, sort of in my studies that jumped out to me. They're supposed to stay back, right? About a half a mile away from the Ark of the Covenant as God moved out in front of them. It would be really easy for everybody to crowd in around it and stay close to it and go behind it, but if they did that, right, they would cover it up and the people in the front could see it, the people in the back wouldn't be able to see it, and so the people in the back wouldn't be following God, they'd be following the person in front of them. Does that make sense? With it being farther away, every single person had the individual responsibility to look ahead, to see where God was moving, and to follow after God. Listen, it's not somebody else's job to follow God for us. Okay, our spouse can't follow God for us. Our kids can't follow God for us. Our parents can't follow God for us. We have to be willing and obedient to follow God wherever he leads. Each and every one of us has got to be willing to follow God. They're not supposed to trust their gut. They're not supposed to trust their feelings. They're not supposed to trust the person in front of them. It's not the latest book or the latest TV show or the latest podcast. Listen, they're supposed to follow after God, faith in him and him alone. And I'm sure for them, as they went, there were times where maybe they felt a little uneasy or a little nervous because, again, they had never been this way before. They were having to totally trust God. And the same is going to happen for us. As we follow God in life, there's going to be times where we get a little nervous. And we're going to be thinking, God, are you sure this is the way that you want me to go? God, I'm nervous. I'm not sure what's going to happen at the end of it. And listen, they were in the same boat. They didn't know what was going to happen when they crossed the river. They didn't know what they were going to run into on the other side. They had to trust and be willing to follow God. Same for us. Let's follow God individually. And you and I, we've got to be willing to come together as a church family, to follow God, right? We're going through a season of transition, maybe individually, but we're certainly going through a season of transition as a church. And it's so important for us to make sure that we are obediently following God wherever it is he's leading us. So if you're thinking, okay, I'm in. I want to follow God. How do I follow God? Let me just tell you. It's right here. Right, it's right here. We don't have an ark going in front of us like the people of Israel did then. They could look and see it and then follow after it. But for you and I, and we can follow God by getting in to God's word. We know from God's word that he wants to draw us closer and deeper into a love relationship with him. Right, that's clear from his word. We know that we're not supposed to stay where we're at, but we're supposed to draw closer to him each and every day, right? Every season of life. And listen, there have been a lot of studies, a lot of books written on how we can move closer to him. One of my favorites is actually called Move, right? And it's all about getting us from where we're at to closer in our love relationship with God. Every single study, every single article I've ever read about how to best and most effectively do that comes right back here. It comes right back here. If we're going to follow God, we have to know what God says. We've got to dig into the Word of God. We've got to read it. We've got to process it. We've got to think about it in a real and major way. When I was 18 years old, I was a student actually here at Champion Forest. And at that year, my senior year, I went to our beach camp, the same place that we've gone the past couple of years. They haven't updated it any since I was in school. It smells a little worse now than it did then. But when I was there, the speaker my senior year was the guy that was the lead speaker at Breakaway Ministries in College Station, Greg Mott. He's actually now the senior pastor at Houston's First Baptist Church, and he's been a guy that's invested in me a lot over the years. Phenomenal guy. But my first conversation ever with him was when I was 18. I told him that I felt like God had called me into ministry. I told him that I felt like God, you know, wanted me to do these specific things and certain things. And you know what he asked me? He said, "Stephen, tell me about your daily time in God's Word. What's that like?" Whoops. And I had to be honest with him. I said, "Well, it's inconsistent. I mean, there's seasons where I read a lot. There's seasons where I don't read anything. I don't have a plan. I don't have a pattern." And he looked at me and he said something I'll never forget. And I've told a lot of students this over the years, my time in student ministry. He said this: "Stephen, you're going to be the same person spiritually in 10 years that you are right now unless something changes when it comes to your time in God's Word. If you want to know what God says, if you want to go where God's calling you to go, if you want to draw closer to Him, you have to spend time in the Word of God on a daily basis." Here's a practical application. I hope and pray, if you forget everything else I've said, or if you haven't been listening, tune in now and just do this, and this will be a very, very good thing. Listen, we've got to spend time in God's Word. I want you to write on your paper, answer the question that Greg asked me. Just write down what your daily Bible reading looks like, what your time in God's Word is like. Write down consistent, write down non-existent, write down incon, write down whatever it is, and be honest with yourself and with the Lord. And let me just help you and remind us that all of us, right, we're trying to grow in every area of our love relationship with God, especially this one. This is such a big, big deal. So here's two things. If you want to grow here or stretch yourself here or do what God's called us to do here, here's two very practical steps or things that you can do to grow in that area of your life. The first is this. There's an app called the YouVersion Bible app. If you don't have it, download it on your phone. If you don't have a smartphone, they have a website too. Just type in YouVersion Bible and it'll pull it up. And what I'd love for you to do is click reading plans and then pick one. Right, and begin reading it. I use that every day to read God's Word. I read it out of my Bible, but the phone is what has the plan and it draws me back into God's Word on a consistent basis. You can read it yourself. You can invite friends into the journey with you. We had a group of people studying God's Word from our neighborhood in our house last year, and we picked a 100-day reading plan, and we all got on the same thing, and we could comment and send notes back and forth, and it got all of us in God's Word in a really, really cool way. So that's step number one. The other way that you could get into God's Word on a regular basis is this. Look around the room. There are a lot of people here that love God, and there are a lot of people here that love you and that care about your walk with Christ. So if you want to go deeper in God's Word, nod at somebody, wink at somebody, elbow them, pinch them, like give them, say, "Hey, it's you," right? If husband, wife, friends, neighbors, people in your life group, class, whatever, say, "Hey, let's read God's Word together to make sure that we're diving in to where God's calling us to go." If we're going to follow God in every area of our life, we have to know where God is leading us. I know that He's not calling me to cross a river tomorrow. But as I spent time in God's Word, I do know that He's calling me to love Him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I do know that He's calling me to love the people that He's placed in my life. I do know that He's calling me to make disciples, so to share the gospel with the people that God's placed in my life and help them walk with Him too. I do know that He's called me to purity. I do know that He's called me to honesty. I do know that He's called me to be a good friend, to have right relationships. I do know that He's called me to commit to the body of Christ, and I know that. From time in God's Word, we can know where God is leading us if we'll open His Word. We can see that blue line more clearly by spending time in the Word of God. Listen, if we're going to be obedient to God, we've got to do what He said. I'm not sure how deep you drilled into it last week with the people of Israel, but we know right now that Joshua and them, they're sitting outside the Promised Land where we pick it up in Joshua chapter 1. But did you know, I think you probably do, that they were right there 40 years before as well. And God had them there. And God gave them a word. And God gave them instructions. And God told them what to do 40 years before Joshua chapter 1 picks up on how they could get into the Promised Land. And they didn't do it. They disobeyed. They stepped off of the blue line and went their own way. And because of that, they spent 40 years in the wilderness, and an entire generation of people died and didn't get to make it into the promised land simply because they would not be obedient to the word that God had given them. They didn't get in. Listen, disobedience is not a good thing. It's not pleasant. Last night, there was an incident at my house, actually, of just some disobedience and someone choosing what they wanted over what the right thing to do was. And there were a lot of tears and a lot of apologies, and I made up my mind that I would never disobey my wife again, that I would be willing. I'm kidding. Sort of. Last night wasn't me. Last night was the kids. We've got three boys, and last night they decided, you know what? We're doing our thing. We don't care what mom and dad say, and it was not pleasant for anybody, right? There was this big sort of blow up in the house, and so there was the time of teaching, this time of loving, this time of saying, hey, listen, we love you. We want what's best for you. We know more than you, just a little bit. At this point in our life, not much, but we know a little bit more than you. Let us lead you to where God is calling us to go as a family. When we're obedient, right, the right things happen. And we end up in the right places. Nothing good ever happens when we deviate from where God's called us to go. If Joshua and the people of Israel are going to make it into the promised land, they've got to follow God. They have seen over the course of their history what happens when they don't follow. And it's the same for us. Listen, if we're going to move, and this whole thing is about spiritual movement, right? If we're going to move where God is calling us to go, to the place that God has for us, we've got to be willing to do what God says. And so the text from here in Joshua chapter 3 is as they go to follow God. It's very simple. It's very clear. I almost feel like I don't need to say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. After we've prepared our hearts, after we've made up our mind to follow God, our third step is this. The third thing that we're going to pull out from God's word is this. We've got to take the step. Right? We've got to take that first step. We have to go. We have to be obedient, however you want to write that down. But we've got to actually move forward where God's called us to go. Chapter 3, verse 13 says this. As soon as the priest who carried the ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand in a heap. This has not happened yet. This is saying what will happen if they move forward the way God's calling them to. Verse 14, so when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the ark went ahead of them. Just like God told them, they took the step and did what they were supposed to do. Verse 15, now the Jordan's at flood stage during the harvest. This is just another thing that's in there so that we can all be amazed by God. Just an incredible miracle. Maybe a half a mile wide at this point, 10 feet deep at some of its deepest spots. This is a big, big deal to get across this river. Verse 15 continues, it says, yet as soon as the priest who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing, right? As soon as they stepped into the river, like God called them to step into the river, the water stopped. And it says it piled up way back earlier on the river and the dry ground, right? It says, verse 17, if you look down, the priest who carried the ark of the covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan, and they stood, not in mud, they stood on dry ground, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Let's take a moment here. Look at the end of verse 17. It says what? Until the whole nation had completed crossing on dry ground. That's a fulfillment of a promise of God from back in Genesis, right? God told Abraham that he was going to grow his descendants into a nation that was going to bless the earth. And God's people, the people of Israel, were not called a nation again until this moment, till God fulfills the promise and brings them into the land that he promised Abraham. They're a people and they've got a land. They are the great nation that God had promised to build them into. So that's a miracle in itself. And by the way, there's another miracle going on here because God stopped up this river and allowed them to walk across, not muddy ground, but on dry ground. Here's what's going on. God said, follow me, and they did. God said, get up and move, and they did. And when they did, when they were obedient, God worked a miracle, but it took a step of faith. The priest had to get in the water. They had to get their feet wet in the river. for you and I, when we know what God has called us to do, we've got to go. We've got to do it. We've got to move. We can't keep thinking about it to make sure this is really what God wants us to do. We can't continue to pray about it over and over. We can't keep seeking this advice. Listen, when God speaks and we know that he's spoken, it's clear to us we've got to actually go. Listen, what if the priests had said, you know what, I'm going to pick up the ark and we're going to begin to move once the waters part. That's when we'll go. They'd still be there. Right, they would have died on the other side of the river again because they weren't obedient to what God called them to do. They've got to pick it up and they've got to actually go to cross the river. That's what they did in Joshua 3. God said the water would stop. They moved in faith and the water stopped. It happened. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to pry a little bit. I just want you to think about this. What area of your life, or what is God stirring in your head or your heart right now where you know it's time to stop waiting and to start obeying? Where has God spoken to you? Where is God calling you to move? What is God calling you to do that you've just been waiting on? Maybe it's sharing the gospel with a friend, neighbor, coworker. Maybe it's blessing someone that God has placed in your life. Maybe God's calling you to stop something or to cut something out of your life right now that is not helping you move closer to him, but it's actually having the opposite effect. What is going on in your world right now where you know, man, it's time to stop waiting and to start obeying? You've heard people talk about it. You've read God's word. Your time of prayer, God has confirmed it. There's no doubt in your mind. If you've got that area, if you've got that thing that's just sort of rattling around in your head, after the service at 9:30, so many people walked up and said, hey, listen, I've been waiting on this. I know that God's called me to do it. I need to push forward. I mean, I hope and pray that if that's you as well, that you would be obedient to where God's calling you, that you would take that first step. Because we know this, that delayed obedience is what? Some of y'all have heard this. It's disobedience, right? Delayed obedience is disobedience. If my dad, when I'm a kid, says, hey, I want you to do this, this, and this, if my response was, I'm going to pray about that. Let me think it through, Dad. I'm going to make a list and a chart of the pros and cons, and I'll get back to you in a week or a month maybe, and if it all works out, I'll get upstairs and clean my room. I wouldn't be here today if I had told my dad that. And a lot of us would be frustrated with our kids if they responded to us like that. I mean, my encouragement from God's word is this: let's not respond to God like that. When God calls us to move, let's go. Let's take that step and do what he's called us to do. As individuals, as a church, let's do what God has called us to do. The people of Israel did, and God led them. God moved them into the place that God had prepared beforehand for them. And as we take those steps of obedience too, God continues to draw us closer and deeper in our love relationship with him. And for them, the people of Israel, it's a miracle, right? God parted the river. They walked across. They're in the land of the promise. And it's amazing. And listen, their response here is very, very important. And I pray that we would respond the same way as well. So that fourth thing that I told you to make 4 points earlier is this: we've got to remember what God had done. When they got across the river, Joshua sent 12 men back into the river. And he said, I want you to get 12 big stones out, and we're going to use them to build a monument, a memorial, to remember what God had done. And the monument, the memorial, it wasn't for Joshua and the people that were with him. They saw what happened. They knew what God had done. They got to experience and witness the miracle of God. But in Joshua's mind, this isn't for them. This is for the generations that are come after them. Look at chapter 4, verse 20. It says, Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. And he said to the Israelites, in the future, when your descendants, your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids, when they ask their parents, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the river before you and allowed you to cross over. The Lord God did to the Jordan what he did to the Red Sea when he dried it out until they crossed over. He did this so the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord is powerful and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. Their kids and their grandkids would never have known how God moved if the people that experienced the miracle, if the people that were moved by God, never told them. Right? They had to be willing to pass it down. I've been in a lot of churches in other countries. We have this partnership in England, and I've gotten to speak and teach a lot over there. And one of the things that's really interesting is this. In a lot of the churches, you'll find people in their 70s, and you'll find people in their 20s or younger than their 20s, teenagers in the churches. And you miss the generations in the middle. And I'll talk to the people in their 70s. I talk to the grandparents. And I say, what's the deal with this age gap here? And it's with very, very heavy hearts that many of them over time have said, listen, our generation missed it. Our generation didn't share the faith with our kids. We didn't tell our kids about the miracles that God had worked in our life. We didn't tell God or our kids about the importance of a relationship and following Jesus and being in that love relationship with God. And because we didn't tell the ones coming after us, they completely missed it. And I hope and pray that would never be said of us. We've got to be willing to share with those behind us what God has done in our life. Here's some questions for us. Have you told the people in your life what God's done in your life? Do your friends, do your family members, do your kids know when you placed your faith and trust in Christ? Do they know about your baptism? Do they know how God has grown you and matured you over the years? Do they know how God has developed you as a student, as a reader of His Word? Do they know how God has been faithful when you've shared the gospel with people that God's placed in your life and seen them trust Christ? Have you told people about that so they can see and know and experience the faithfulness of God through you as well? Listen, I mean, right here, we see it's supposed to be passed down to the kids, and there's a reason for that. We learn so much about faith and God and what it means to follow God and the miracles of God from our family, from our parents, from the experiences that are passed down. And today, here's just a practical thing we can pull out. Today, tell people how God's worked in your life. And at lunch, talk to your spouse about how God's worked in your life. Tell your kids about the time you placed your faith and trust in Christ. Tell your kids about a difficult decision that you had to make, that you were able to make because you stayed on that blue line and you were obedient to what God's called you to do. Tell your kids about a time where you led someone to Christ and saw them walking in a love relationship with Him again. And tell people about what God has done in your life and let them see through you the faithfulness of God. God's going to move. He's going to move in us. He's going to change us. He's going to mold us. Let's tell people what's going on. We see here in these couple of chapters, God moved the people of Israel, the nation now of Israel, from outside the promised land to inside the promised land. And He did it as they were willing to prepare their hearts, follow Him, take that first step. And then when it happened, they praised, they worshiped, they remembered, and they passed it down to generations behind them. And listen, the same is true for us. All of us are moving, right? We're moving spiritually. We can't idle and sit in the same place. Either we're moving closer to Jesus each and every day, or we're drifting further from Him each and every day. And my hope is this, that all of us are drawing closer to Christ, that we're becoming more Christ-like. But I just have to remind us, it's not an accident. Right? It's not going to just happen. Let's follow the model, this model to move that we see in God's Word. Let's make sure that we're preparing our hearts daily in times of intentional prayer. Let's make sure that we're in the Word of God so we can know what He's calling us to do. And then when we see it and know it, let's take that first step, doing in all things all that God's called us to do. And as He moves us, let's share our journey to encourage others to come along with us. I always think back to what Greg Mott told me. I'm going to be the same person in a year or 10 years or however long that I am right now, unless something changes, unless I intentionally focus on and pursue the Lord. Would you pray with me? And just let this be a time of prayer for you. And I would love it if you would just pray in response to God's Word. God, move me this morning. Make that a confession before the Lord. Say, God, I don't want to stay where I am. I want to follow You. Tell Him, I want to draw closer to You. Say, God, use times of preparation in my life. Use times of prayer. Say, God, use Your Word. God, help me to be obedient. And as I do these things, God, as I lock into the pattern that I see in Your Word, Father, I pray that You would draw me closer to You. So at the end of our time this morning, down here at the front on the right side by that cross, we're going to have prayer partners that are going to be here. that would love to connect with you, to open up God's word with you. If you're going through a season of life where you're saying, you know what, man, I'm drifting. I don't know where I'm going right now. I don't know how to be intentional to get where God has called me to be. What can I do? Man, go and just tell them. Say, man, I'm drifting. I want to move closer. And they'll open up God's word with you, and they will show you steps that you can take to draw closer each and every day to our Heavenly Father. Maybe you would say, man, I don't know God. I'm not even in a relationship with Him. Man, this morning, if that's you, and you want the peace and the assurance of knowing God and having heaven and eternal life in your future, man, step up to the front when our time together is done and just say, hey, I want to know Jesus. And somebody will open up God's word and show you from His word how you can walk closely with Him. My prayer for myself and for my family is this, and it's the same that I pray for you and for your families, is that all of us would draw closer to the Father each and every day, and that we would use the tools that He's given us, that we would spend time in prayer, that we would spend time in His word, and as we do, we would draw closer to Him. So this week, let's not walk out of here and forget what God's called us to do. Let's be willing to commit to moving in our relationship with Him as God speaks to us and draws us close. Father, we love You. We trust You. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for the clarity of it. And God, I pray that we would do what You are calling us to do. I pray that, God, that we would move in our relationship with You to know You more each and every day. And God, I pray that as we do, that You would get glory and honor through our lives and all things. We love You, we trust You, and we thank You. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.